This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Five Nine to the Fan, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin and Chuck till noon. And then we're doing a line change, Chuck. We got Strick here for a Hockey Wednesday. You can rest up for TV duties. You got the opportunity to do some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Zach is actually on vacation, and he is a huge hockey fan. A lot of folks, I think this happened to, you see it online, social media, people say, hey, watching the game in California, watching the game. People had summer plans. I, of course, always keep early June wide open just in case, Charlie, for 20-plus years, just in case.
I did have a four-day trip planned, and I cut it to two, okay, because I'm a team player the weekend. So, hey, sometimes skate, boy, skate. I mean, this is an opportunity of a lifetime, Martin.
That's what we need is the sign. And this used to happen in the old days, Chuck, when you would go by the Tam overpass, somebody would always, I think it was like a bed sheet. And it would have spray paint on it that would just say, skate, boys, skate. And they would hang it around. Maybe it's different people every year that did it, but it would always be during the playoffs. You'd be driving home after a game. So if anybody out there, spray paint, bed sheet, that's what we're looking for, okay?
Let me tell you, when I was walking to the game the other day, and I got down to Enterprise Center a little late. Now, I was there before the game, but parking-wise, I ended up parking at that lot right by Busch Stadium. So I'm walking up a good, what is that? How many blocks do you think? Basically from Busch.
6 to 8.
6 to 8 blocks. It was just so fun to be downtown. I should have taken a pedicab. But it was just so fun see all of the jerseys and all the people and the pre-parties. You have the concerts out there. You walk by Enterprise Center. You see the outdoor stage set up for NBC Sports and for NHL Network. It's also cool to see St. Louis on display nationally and internationally for 2.5 weeks here, potentially, for the Stanley Cup Final. And I think people nationally get a nice slice of St. Louis when you see John Hamm and you see Nelly out there, because we always see Boston, right? I mean, you always see Pittsburgh. And St. Louis, in terms of a hockey stage and audience, it hasn't been out there forever, and it's cool to see St. Louis on display.
And Big Walt,
positively.
Big Walt, who's from Boston, on this station yesterday told us, everybody outside of Boston in the hockey world, he said, everybody's rooting for the Blues.
Except for Chicago, probably, because they're haters.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
All right, let's get you live to Boston. Frank Cusimano on hold, dialing in and getting some of Charlie's hot takes that he can reuse later tonight on KSDK. Frank, mm-hmm. How are you?
Good to be with you guys. We're at the Bruins skates. And as we speak, a little bit of news because Matt Grzelcyk is actually on the ice. Now, he's wearing a maroon jersey. Everybody else is in black and white, so that maroon is like what, you know, the quarterback wears during a football scrimmage, that he's not going to get hit at all. But this would be big news because, you know, the odds are that Char is not going to play, although nothing would shock me at this point. And Grzelcyk's a good player. You know, he's a second line, second on the power play. He's skilled. He's a local guy. And if they get him back, losing Char would not be, you know, quite as dramatic.
And
the guys that... Go ahead.
I want to clarify, it's not a Pat Maroon jersey. It's the color maroon you're talking about.
Yes. I'm glad you clarified that.
so stupid.
A couple of things. If it's not Grzelcyk, Stephen Camper would play. He wears number 44, and he's like, I don't know how you describe him, not like a great offensive defenseman, but he's regarded as a real steady guy. And he did have one big power play goal in this postseason. Now, if it's not him, they may go really young. And a guy that Martin and Charlie and myself have covered for years, Juro Vaikkanen. Yes, Juro Vaikkanen, who is very young, very skilled, and that's going to be a tough decision for Coach Cassidy, depending on the health of Matt Grzelcyk.
And we should let folks know the Blues are going to be on the ice a little bit later in the day, I would think. And you and I both talked to Bernie Federko yesterday, wouldn't anticipate any changes. I mean, I think if you win a game like you did game 4, you roll out with the same group.
Yeah, Zach Sanford has bought himself another game for sure. There's no doubt about it. And, boy, with the way, you know, Vince Dunn played, you know, he only played 12 minutes. He had quite an impact, you know, for 12 minutes. It was interesting to see the way Coach Berube distributed those minutes. He had 30 for Pietrangelo and I think like 28 or 29 for Parayko, and then you drop down to 12. I think Edmondson had the least amount, six. But, you know, Martin, I know you guys were all – we were all kind of like mesmerized when Coach Berube was talking, I guess, on the day before the – or the day of the game about how great Vince Dunn is and about how he does things that we don't have anybody else can do these things. And then he goes out there and he plays a terrific game. He's only 22 years old. He may end up hitting a star in St. Louis before it's all said and done.
Frank, don't you think the key to the next two or potentially three games for the Blues is just literally staying out of the penalty box? When I'm watching these games, and I know that game three was lopsided in the Bruins' favor, but when you watch these four games, it sure seems like if you play 5-on-5, the Blues might be slightly better than the Bruins overall.
Yeah, in fact, that's backed up by a statistic. It makes you look really smart. You know, the Blues are even strength, they're 10-8 against the Bruins in this series. So it just seems kind of really rather simple. Stay out of the penalty box. You know what's amazing, too? The Bruins have scored as many shorthanded goals, one, as the Blues have scored power play goals. So make this a 5-on-5 series, and we're going to have a parade maybe next Tuesday in St. Louis. Would you guys think it would be Tuesday, by the way, if they could win it Sunday?
Whoa, I'm too paranoid. I'm too paranoid to even think that far ahead. But, yeah, I'm okay with that. Why not? Downtown's not that crowded. You could probably grab just about any day and be fine.
Wow.
I'm thinking of a promo that when Frank's talking, though, 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. There's something here.
Oh. I kind of like that one.
Not the road to Gloria, but it's close. All right, Frank, be honest. More excited about Game 5 in Boston or the fact they're serving lobster as the meal at Game 5?
Well, I got to tell you, folks, I have had that in the back of my mind as soon as I broke the news about 8 days ago. Did I break it or did you? I'm not sure.
No, you broke it. I was in the press box at the TD Garden, and Frank hits me and goes, "Hey, Martin, guess what?" And I was like, "What? Is Thomas healthy? Is Dunn playing?" He goes, no. Bigger. Lobster for Game 5.
We are going to find out if Tom Stasiak can break his personal record from, I think it was Game 2 of the World Series in 2013, where I think he got 7 of them, which was an all-time record.
Yeah, I remember, actually, I think it was Game 6 in Boston of that World Series, though. And they had that lobster, and I have to say, it was kind of stock lobster, I think.
Oh,
well, no, listen.
Wow.
If you have potentially, what, 1,000 media members? I mean, that's a lot of people
to serve
there. I remember the chowder being really good, though.
Frank, this is what happens when Charlie starts going to the club. He's got fancy new sport coats, and all of a sudden, the media lobster's just not good enough
that's
for
Southwest
him.
Sport coat's change it, Chuck.
I think
that's
it's
a
true.
Good-looking sport coat, though, Chuck. There's no
and
doubt
Frank,
about it.
Yes,
it makes you look more sinewy.
Thank you. Frank has complimented that sport coat several times. Now, just so people know, and no one cares, but I think we all get a little superstitious nowadays. I bought that sport coat when my luggage was lost in San Jose. The Blues won that game. I wore it in the clinching game of San Jose, and I wore it in Game 4. So I almost want to wear it now for every game moving forward.
I think you have to.
And I think St. Louis will have two thoughts. One is Chuck has really taken one for the team, and two is Chuck doesn't have a great wardrobe.
Right.
Both true.
I know Frank's busy there. TD Garden, I'll be joining him there later in the day. We've got the Blues on the ice coming up a little bit at the Garden. And, Frank, I have one more suggestion. I'm just an idea guy. You were talking headlines, and the Post-Dispatch is having a great run with O'Reilly. What we need is a Vince Dunn overtime winner, and the headline can simply say, "Over and done."
Ooh, that is brilliant. That is really good.
Save me some lobster. All right, Frank.
Okay.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Frank Cusimano checking in ringside at TD Garden. And again, Grizzlick, and there was a story when I was in Boston, his dad actually works at the Garden. So I'm sure for that town, it's a huge storyline whether he can come back and play because he's from Boston. Dad works at the Garden, all these tie-ins. And for the Bruins, it may be just in time if you're losing a Chara, which, of course, is the question of the day, which it's hockey. They won't give you an answer.
Can't help but notice that Frank is both of you actually have preached your appreciation for how long hockey series are, because when you're on the road, you usually get a night just to go out and have a nice dinner, not worry about a game, get in a little early, have a few drinks. So Frank goes up to take advantage of that on the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Actually, he went up yesterday. He had two nights of preparing,
reading notes. All right, Frank's not here, but Five for Frank lives on. Let's do Five for Chuck. What do you say? Brought to you by our friends at Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Five for Chuck. If you wear the coat and the Blues lose, will we ever see it on TV again?
Yes, but not for Blues games. Just kind of a general coat, off-season coat. How about that?
What if they lose a horrific game? Would you consider throwing it away?
It's just such a nice coat, though. I mean, it really is nice, I have to say. It's probably my favorite right now, so the answer is no.
Is there a scenario we can throw out there that will get Chuck to throw this jacket away?
Will you give me the money that it's worth? I mean, it was only about $100, but still, it's a very sharp coat.
Did Southwest pay for it?
I'm still working on that. If not Southwest, I have a feeling I might bill Fox 2. Because, again, it wasn't my fault.
You'll get your money back.
For sure.
It's Sunday night at Wrigley Field. You're Mike Schilt. Who's pitching?
I don't think it can be Hennessy Cabrera, with all due respect. He had great stuff in his first outing. Didn't have a great outing. Struck out 5, though. It was pretty nasty. When you see the stats yesterday that he threw, 95 pitches and didn't get one swing and miss for a guy who's a lefty throwing 95 with some nasty secondary pitches.
He's a pitch-to-contact guy.
Now, I know you could go Waka. I guess we'll have to look at the minor league rotation breakdown for Memphis. I did see that if you skipped and you kind of pushed back your weekend starters to Wrigley, I believe Ponce de Leon could then potentially start tomorrow. I think that's correct. That would be on his turn. I could see the Cardinals going Waka, though.
But does that really fix anything? No. Even taking him out of the rotation, you've really not fixed the problem.
He's a part of the most depressing piggyback in baseball.
Cabrera. Most depressing piggyback.
What was the piggyback that they beat to earn that moniker? But here, how about this?
You guys called it the most depressing piggyback.
Could this have woken up Michael Waka? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
like a line,
players,
like ship, like Berube puts him on the fourth line.
Yeah, no, seriously. Sometimes you kind of need to be put in your place a little bit. I'm not saying that he wasn't focused and all that, but sometimes being demoted or being taken out of your rotation spot will kind of make you more focused mentally or preparing for a game and just kind of wake you up. So maybe he could be a little better in the rotation. I'm not betting on that. I could just see Michael Waka getting that start on Sunday.
I could see them doing that. Would you like to see? Who would you prefer to see? If I told you right now you could have Ponce on Sunday night or Waka on Sunday night, wouldn't you roll it out there with Ponce de Leon and see what he's got?
100%. And I've
why,
said this.
But so why not?
Okay, again, I think Ponce's turn is Thursday.
Yes.
But I don't care.
That's the issue. Okay, so, no. What I said earlier, I would love to see Ponce then.
Then I hold him back.
Why do you hate the Memphis Redbirds? Don't you want them to have success too, Martin?
But look, you could
Stubby's
throw
here.
Ponce.
We're fine.
You could throw Ponce on Thursday and push back your rotation, and everybody else gets an extra day. I believe that would be fine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't
for
tell
the weekend.
Me it's not possible.
Yes.
Because, well, he had to pitch Thursday.
I agree with you.
He doesn't have to pitch.
And here's my point
about
Ponce.
Why am I yelling at Mike Schilt? Played by Charlie Morrow.
And also, we agree with each other. I don't know why we're creating this kind of fake embrace debate, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith thing. No.
Well, that's an aggressive withdrawal.
I've said many times, many sides, what always ticks me off about baseball, and I hate to go on a tangent because it just happened also with the Brewers, with Keston Hiura, their top prospect, second baseman, who was raking, has, I believe, 5 homers. And he got sent down because Travis Shaw came back up. This kid is a stud.
Chuck, Travis Shaw slugging .297 with a 51
Travis
OPS
Shaw is
plus.
Terrible.
That bad place.
But teams do this. They play contracts. Baseball needs to figure out a way, I don't care what they do with the rosters, to be able to keep guys up when they're doing well. Okay? And my point with Daniel Ponce de Leon has been, he was good last year. I believe he only made about 4 or 5 starts. But he made one good start this year. don't you at least want to see him pitch till he fails? Like, if a guy's good, why do you send him back? And I understand options. I understand the injured list. But it doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it's good for baseball when you have good young players and then you have to send them down when you really don't want to, but you're protecting options and you're protecting your roster. That doesn't make sense for the product.
You're stepping into the Hoff wheelhouse.
No, this is 100% true.
No, this is 100% true.
Baseball should have some type of malleable roster for young players like this. It doesn't make sense, and we joked about it, what, a couple years back with Magnera Sierra. We all knew he wasn't going to be Ricky Henderson. It just ticked people off when he basically got a hit and scored a run in every single game, and then you had to send him down. I feel like there should be a way to keep these guys up, at least see them fail. I want to see Daniel Ponce de Leon out there until he has a bad outing.
There's another example in Kansas City. I mean, in San Diego, rather. Ian Kinsler is having a terrible year, but has a two-year deal with an option with the Padres, whereas in the minors, Luis Urias has an OPS of 1.173 as a 22-year-old, but he's down in AAA, and Ian Kinsler, who can't hit and seems angry, is in the majors.
I think Chuck invented a word. I think you said malleable.
Baseball's dumb.
I was thinking
malleable's a word.
Is it broken?
Malleable? Malleable?
Isn't there an E in there?
Malleable? I thought you said malleable. Sure. I'm not being correct, guy.
I'm pretty sure there's an E in that word.
I like the word malleable because it
malleable.
Sounds like...
Boom. Look at that.
Valuable.
Corrector guy malleable. Is wrong. Google.
I think it's malleable.
Malleable.
He Google. Just played
malleable.
It.
Malleable.
Look at this guy. Corrector
valuable.
Guy. And he's wrong. How about
malleable.
That?
Malleable.
When
malleable,
you correct someone,
it rhymes
you
with valuable.
Better
well
be.
And Chuck right. is a valuable person here. At
malleable?
Malleable.
Malleable.
What's the definition of that?
Of a metal or other material.
Ever-changing.
Able to be hammered or pressed permanently out of shape without breaking or cracking.
Malleable.
Also, easily influenced, pliable. I feel like a spelling bee guy.
I have to say, that was perfect word choice and
malleable.
Perfect pronunciation. Thank you for support.
I think Hoff is staged. I think that's an incorrect pronouncer over there. Malleable.
Next
right,
topic.
True or false,
malleable.
The NL Central is giving the Cardinals false hope. Nobody's playing great right now. Everybody's in that 4-6, 5-5, 10-game stretch.
I think the Cardinals manufacture false hope just fine on their own.
But they look at the standings right now and say, we're fine, when maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Do you think the division is giving them a false sense of who they are?
Yes. You're surely not the Dodgers right now that are trending towards, what, 112 wins? I saw a graphic yesterday.
And that's without Walker Buehler having a good start.
Yes.
So it's going to get better.
I saw a graphic that predicted, based on the records right now, and it had the Cardinals as the third place team with 84 wins.
Perfect.
And I know that there's a lot of people out there maybe not happy with management and or front office lately. And I saw that graphic and I just chuckled because 84 wins feels so much like the last 3 years. It's just good enough to draw 3 million fans every year because, man, you're in it down to the end, but are you really in it? You're in it for the wild card. You're not a great team. You're not a bad team. You're kind of in that really tough middle where you're not getting high draft picks and you're not really contending for a World Series. And that's not a good spot to be in, especially when you've been in that spot the past 3 seasons.
The Bruins player that scares you the most in Game 5. Is it somebody who's due? Is it a lesser light? Is there one player you fear?
I have to say, have we seen Marchand break out yet? We haven't. And every time he does that little spin move that he does with the puck, I always go, man, that guy is really, really good on skates. I mean, he has some moves. I could see him breaking out. That's the one guy when I see him with the puck, I get a little bit, I don't want to say scared.
Marchand is a -3 with only 1 goal so far in this series.
And that was an empty netter, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
And because I'm corrector guy and I was wrong, I want to tell you that was the correct answer. Brad Marchand. That's the guy that you should be afraid. He's been too quiet other than hitting Bennington the other day as he skated by. If you ever look at his Wikipedia with all of the suspensions.
Licking people. Kissing people.
That's weird.
You think?
Hey.
Like hockey world. Hockey like tough guys like, yeah, we got a guy. He's a gamer over there, but he's out next game. Why? Well, he was looking somebody.
Can you imagine a baseball player
correct.
Doing that? Just like, you know, I don't know. Luke Voigt gets on base, and as he goes to first base, he licks Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles at the first
like,
base.
Just look at like all these suspensions, late hit, all this other thing, and the licking incident. You're like, what? More than once.
But
like,
give
what?
Credit. give credit to the Blues, because I'm sure going in that they talked about this, and I think I heard Pat Maroon even say this, that, look, Marjan wants the Blues to engage, right? When he did the crybaby eyes, he wants people to start chirping him. I feel like he plays better, and he feels like he's being that pest that's getting you out of your game. So I feel like Pat Maroon would be the guy that would maybe engage there, and he's done a good job not to. I know he walked by the bench, skated by the bench once and said, hey, you guys are effed, which I appreciated that, yeah. Pat Maroon saying that. But I think when you have a pest like that, it's like an internet troll, Martin. The best thing to do is don't feed the troll. When they comment, you just ignore them. If you ignore Brad Marchand, you're going to take him out of that role.
Is Brett Hull becoming the pest for the Blues?
That's
of
fair.
The Bruins?
He's the agitator from the
I feel
stands.
Like he's becoming that.
God, I love that.
Kissing the chinchilla or whatever that animal is.
Flipping
the bird
to the Bruins. I believe he
might have
said, what the bleep is that when he saw the chinchilla.
And again, not to to call out the national media, but isn't Brett Hull flipping off another team like a huge story? Again, we've talked about that locally. I feel like that should be a big thing, right? I mean, it's hilarious.
Would it have been a big deal if Stan Musial had flipped off the Boston Red Sox during the old
That's what I'm
World
saying.
World
I mean,
Series.
Brett Hull is an icon. He's one of the greatest Blues, if not the best Blue. And, I mean, here he is having a great time, having a couple pops.
Is that Bob Gibson flipping off Joe Madden
I mean,
over there?
That's awesome.
If I had an auction coming up, I would get that as a signed print.
Yes.
And auction that baby. Would you not?
Especially
put
if they
that
win.
In your
if
basement?
They win the cup and that becomes like a defining photo. Brett Hull flipping the bird, the Bruins bench.
This show is not a vehicle to talk about Marquette basketball surreptitiously. However,
it was the other day.
It at times is. There's a great photo in the Marquette Athletic Department office. There was for years. And it's Al McGuire. They beat Wisconsin, which is the big rival. And he jumps on the scorer's table to celebrate. And he's got his arms pumped in the air. And in the front row is the dad of the Badgers had twin players. I think the Hugheses, I don't remember. But the dad was in the front row. And you can see him clearly giving Al the middle finger from like 2 feet away in the front row as McGuire's arms are extended celebrating. And that picture lives on and is wildly famous up there. I agree with you. I think the Hully picture, if they win, needs to be a thing. Maybe it'll be hanging at the men's grill at Old Wars. Probably not.
Along those lines, I got to remember this guy's name. Do you remember the Ole Miss basketball player, like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago? Marshall?
Something Marshall.
Oh, was it Marshall Henderson?
Marshall Henderson, yes.
Jim
Hewer
is saying yes. Marshall Henderson was the Marchand version. Just the ultimate pest. Everybody hated him. Talked mad trash the whole time to players, to fans. There's this great picture just like that, Martin, where he's like popping his jersey. He's close to the scorer's table, and like every opposing fan is flipping him off. Like all these old white dudes who are like 60 years old with front row tickets are all flipping off this young 20-year-old.
Oh, what a great photo this Al McGuire photo is. I just
you
find
see
it on
it?
Google. It's so good.
I think it's the Hughes twins or something. The dad is in the front row. It's great. God bless Brett Hull for going to a hockey game, sitting on the glass, having a few beers, and then flipping people off. Like, that's a Blues fan right there. That's our rallying cry. That's either 4 or 5 for Chuck. I forget, but it's brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu for more information. Also bringing you this fine program, Brian.
We have McBride and Son Homes. And if you want, why would you buy an old home with all the to-dos when you can buy new? This June, McBride Homes is having a Dream Kitchen and Bathroom Sales event. Buy a new McBride home and receive $2,000 up to $10,000 to spend towards a luxury kitchen or bath. McBride Homes has over 40 communities throughout the Metro San Luis area and over 100 inventory homes ready for a quicker move-in. Homes to fit every lifestyle and design with you in mind. McBride's Dream Kitchen and Bath Sales event is for June only. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. And Dr. Michael Jones, 1-855-260-EYES. Any eye issues, cataracts, LASIK, he's the man to go to. Board-certified ophthalmologist and assistant professor at St. Louis University, part of the Quantum Vision family.
Maybe there's something about St. Louis, you know, great athletes, flipping the bird at Blues games years ago. It was a regular season game, but it was on Fox Sports Midwest. And they go, oh, look, Jim Edmonds is at the game. And they cut to a shot of Edmonds, and he's messing with like a friend of his, and he gives his friend the finger while the camera zoomed in on him. On Fox Sports Midwest. He was yelling like at a buddy 10 feet away, gives him the finger, and it's just as the camera caught him on Fox Sports Midwest. I'm sure Dan Caesar probably wrote a column about it. We'll look for it. All right, that's 1 hour in the books, Chuck.
Great hour.
Another hour still to go.
We still have our 10 minutes of bad radio in our back pocket, guys. Think about that.
We might have cut into that a little bit.
What do you mean, Kenny Albert? Man. How about also, I have to give Frank credit. With some of his hockey knowledge,
I mean,
he busted out some dudes with like 47 letters in their name that I've never heard of. I mean, seriously, I have to give Frank credit for knowing like the four deep on the Bruins' defensive pairing.
I was going to ask him if that was Pierre LeBrun on the other end of the phone. EJ Raddick.
He was reading right from the game notes, though.
He's going to earn that lobster. And seriously, when I ask, are you more excited about Game 5 or the lobster? He hedged. He hedged a little bit. All right, the commish also with some baseball talk in our next hour. Strick here for our Hockey Wednesday. That's coming up at noon. It's 590 The Fan. Stagecoach, baby, gonna take you for a spin. Oh, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Well, hey.